starting with verse 15, chapter 2. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. In the first 14 verses of this second chapter, we saw the encouragement of the Thessalonian church about the day of Christ and the fact that they were not then in the day of Christ. This chapter has become more important to me, I think, as the days have gone by. It seems like there's always something to respond to people that talk about what is ahead of us. And I began digging into something that I hadn't looked at in quite a long time. I won't get into that tonight, but it's very interesting that, to me, think about it. If the church is going to see the man of sin arise, then it only follows that we're not going to be taken away. So that's the next thing that's got to happen, is the manifestation of this man of sin. Oh, how we need to keep ourselves close to the Lord and trust Him. We saw how the apostles gave thanks for this church because they had been chosen from the beginning and were called by the gospel. So in verse 15, let's read this and notice it. Therefore, brethren, you've been called, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle, which is the letter. Because of God's choosing of us and His calling us by the gospel and our salvation through the sanctification of Spirit and belief of the truth, he writes, stand fast. He doesn't say, you're chosen to salvation and therefore you may be careless and secure, but stand fast. Sometimes we forget that the Lord wants us to be diligent in our walk. He wants us to be careful about our life. He wants us to live upright and holy, be just in all our dealings. He's chosen us and that we might be holy and might ultimately be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to remind us and to teach us and to comfort us about the struggles that we all are going to have in this life. But I want you to notice what John said about that anointing that God gave us. Hold your place and turn to 1 John 2, and let's read verse 27 and 28. 1 John 2, 27 and 28. But the anointing which you received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the Spirit's teaching us. He's helping us and comforting us. Look at verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him. Stay with the Lord, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Some people are going to be ashamed before Christ when he comes. We don't want that. So we want to be diligent. Notice that he talked about holding the traditions which you've been taught. I want to remind you again that the church at Thessalonica did not have the New Testament scriptures that we have today. They were being written. Most all of Paul's letters that he wrote to the churches and to the preachers we have in our scripture, but they didn't have that. So they were taught word of mouth. And that's what tradition means. It means being taught orally. And that's what Paul and his companions did for them. Thank God that we have the scripture and we can read it. Hold fast to the things we learn. The Hebrew writer says, lest at any time you let them slip. Traditions are those things orally taught, as we said. Let's not be deceived in the thinking that because we have all of the scriptures, that today there might be new methods in the Lord's churches. A lot of churches come up with, well, we need something to take care of our people. We need to take care of our young people. We need this and we need that. Some kind of program that was not designed for the church. So those things that were handed down are clear enough. Continue to hold to the gospel as it was delivered. Continue to baptize people who profess faith in Christ in the right way. As keep on observing the Lord's Supper, remembering our Lord who died for us, and show forth his death until he comes again. Let's be careful to observe every commandment of the Lord. Brethren, we're told to hold fast till he come. And that's what this is about. Some of these things were taught to them, as it's taught to us by letters. Thank God for the letters that Paul has left for us. Now, verse 16 says this. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. This is a special thing. When he died, he saved us eternally from our sins and reconciled us to God. Think of it. He's given us an everlasting consolation. That's never going to stop. What does that word mean? Consolation. It means to comfort. It means to help us when we're mentally distressed or when we're apt to be cast down or when we're in sorrow. God has given us everlasting comfort to help us to be free from the sense of misery. Now I want you to read with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Thank you for having your Bible with you. I appreciate you turning there and reading with us. You get more out of it when you read along. The Lord may show you something that I don't even talk about. Now let's read this, verse 3 and following. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your comfort or consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. Sometimes we get feeling bad. We feel cast down. Maybe we're going through a tough time. Things are hard. And we've prayed and nothing is really happening yet. We're having a wait. Maybe someone is needling us. Maybe we just have fallen into something that we shouldn't have fallen into. And we need God's comfort. How many times people have come to me and said, "Preacher, I want to talk to you." And they begin to talk and they begin to pour out their personal hurts and heartache. And the best advice I could give them is to be comforted with the same comfort that God gives me in that circumstance. In fact, I've shared some experiences with them that you don't commonly talk about every day. But when people are in trouble, share the comfort with them. That's what Paul's talking about here. Everlasting consolation. He's never going to leave us. We're not ever going to be so distraught that things are not going to perk up and get better. Because he's there with us all the time. I think that's marvelous. It's not only going to last in this life, but our comfort's going to go on through all of eternity. And notice that he said, we have good hope through grace. We have a hope that won't fail. We have a hope that's sure and steadfast. It's not something that's going to disappoint us. We're all going to be present with the Lord. And that is our wonderful consolation. This life is full of trials and trouble. Was it? In the book of Job, it says, man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He's born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Not only that, but the Lord appoints us to trial. And it's for our good so that we can rejoice in the comfort and the consolation. Now, our Savior and our God will comfort our heart, as it says in verse 17, and establish you in every good word and work. The Thessalonians were in the midst of trouble, and Paul prayed that they'd have full consolation in their good word, that is, their preaching and their testimony for Christ and the work that they were doing in the gospel. I know it's been many a time when I needed help and I needed encouragement and I needed comfort. Thank God that we have it. But I can tell you in all of these years, the Lord is always there. And it never got so bad that there wasn't light ahead. Thank God it came. It came. It's precious to me. You need that in your life. And the way things are in this dark world, you're going to need it more and more and more. The consolation that you're one of God's children and you have a good hope. Praise his name. Now, let's scoot into the third chapter in the first verse. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray for us. I'd rather have you pray for me than most anything I know. Humanly speaking, it seems so little. But we're not trusting in our prayer. We're trusting in God who answers prayer. I read and hear about people all the time that pray. And they, you know, you can pray to almost anything. But our prayer goes up to our God. Paul wanted them to pray that the word of the Lord that they preach would have free course. It can only have free course as the Lord opens a door and the Holy Spirit makes it work. He wanted that word to be glorified. Today I had some dear friends that we met many years ago back in Kentucky. And I was talking to the man and he said, Brother King, pray for us. And I said, I will. And I put his name and his wife's name and his brother's name and his wife's brother's wife. And I put them all on my prayer list. Please pray for one another. Pray for Brother Craig. Pray for me. Need your prayers. And thank you when you do. Thank God that you will. Such a blessing. We want the Word of God to go forth in the power of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? What happens when the Word of God goes forth like that? People become convicted. Maybe it's just a small thing, and all of a sudden, what that man said has set my teeth on edge. It's beginning to bother me. It's beginning to strengthen me and help me. That's what God's Word is intended to do, is to correct us and put us on the right course. The Lord's glorified when people listen and when they hear God's Word with conviction and with reverence. It's glorified when it's received by those who love it and hear it and who greatly esteem it and quickly embrace it and obey it. It's glorified when lost sinners are drawn to the Lord and converted. Praise God when that happens. In the second verse, it continues if request. And pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. There are lots and lots and lots of unreasonable and wicked men that are now going about and causing great problems in this land. You can't even reason with them. They're unreasonable. And that's what Paul talks about. Lots of men and lots of people like that. Deliverance from such people, so many about. It's definitely true that all men and all women don't have faith. Most, listen, are you listening? Most people are on the broad road which leads to destruction and are dead in trespasses and in sin. So we need deliverance from those that would do harm to you and I. I pray that for all of you as you go about your daily work and your places where you have to go. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. Be careful where you go. Watch who's around you. There are many wicked and unreasonable people. In the third verse, he said, but, thank God, the Lord is faithful. We're not always faithful, but the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? We don't have any idea how often the Lord shields us from evil. He's faithful to watch over us and to make us strong. I think about my own life. I can't imagine how many times I was that close to death. No, my cousin and I were squirrel hunting one day. I know most of you don't think anything about squirrels, but we back in Arkansas, we had gray squirrels, and they're about this long. And we had fox squirrels a little longer, and we was walking through the woods down a ditch bank, lots and lots of trees, and we was easing along so we could see some squirrels and get some meat for breakfast. So I happened to look down right in front of my cousin who was walking in front of me. And I said, "Lauren, stop! Don't move!" And there was a rattlesnake right in front of him on that ditch dump. This thing was this big around. It was that long. And he stopped. And he picked up one foot and I said, "Don't put it down." And I shot the snake's head off. Out of danger, right? All of a sudden, one started rattling just behind me. We had walked right over this guy. He was right behind me. My cousin turned, shotgun, and killed that horrible thing. If he'd have bit me, I'd have been dead before I could go 10 feet. Been in so many places where I know that I was close to death. My dad and I used to go to the river to catch fish. So we'd have something to eat. We didn't have a lot of meat back then. There wasn't any in the store much. So we went to the river, the old muddy river, and we'd go down where they had, it was hollow logs that fell off in the river. And the catfish would get up in this hollow log, and we'd get down under the water and reach up in the hollow log to get the catfish, and all of a sudden here he'd come and grab you like that. And you just hold on for a minute and pretty soon lead him out and put him in the gunny sack and we'd take him home. Well, one day my dad reached in the log and he got a hold of a cottonmouth snake and he threw it out on the bank like that. It could have bit him, it could have bit me. Used to jump out of airplanes about that far from death. Vietnam, in the bombs or bullets. Never know. God delivered us. He'll deliver you. He'll take care of you. Keep you from evil. He has this old man 1,000 times and more. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. Unable to care for myself. And sometimes so stupid that I didn't even have enough sense to care about myself. But He watched over me. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 4 says, "We have confidence in the Lord touching you." Show me the church. "That ye both do and will do the things which we command you." What an encouraging word. You're doing it, and I know you're going to continue to do it. He knew the Lord was working in them continuously, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as a result, Paul knew they would keep on. And then the 5th verse, and just a few comments, and we're done. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." It's close. We need the Lord to put right thoughts in our heart. Remember, He loves us. Oh, how we need. We don't know when the Lord's coming, but we do know that He is. Paul had commended this church for their patient waiting in the first chapter. Now he's wanting them to keep on. All of us have great need of patience. Not only to continue to be faithful to do God's work, but to endure the trials and tribulations which come upon us. Let's never be moved and cast down by these difficulties. The Lord has appointed us to them. He'll be with us in it. So many encouraging words in these few verses. And I thank you for your attention. Appreciate it so much. God bless you.